This week on Chicago Beer Pass, we're back in the studio. We're drinking some belt and suspenders from Buckle Down, and we're talking about Ireland, Phobab, and everything that's happening around Black Friday. All that more on this week's episode. What'd we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boop, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. Every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And it's good to be back, to have you back in the country, man.
Feels good to be back in the States, man.
Yeah, it was quite a trip. We missed last week recording, but that's all right, because now we got a lot to talk about this week.
We got a full show.
I know. Not a lot of events, but a lot of coming events, but everyone's going to be busy with Thanksgiving anyway, so we'll do that. But first off, we're drinking. We got some Zwickel. We're finishing up from Urban Chestnut. Not necessarily local.
Yeah, local-ish. Mm-hmm. What, St. Louis is probably what, in four hours.
Yeah, four or five.
Hey, so this is Reverend Series 1. You know, this is not a barrel-aged beer. I'm excited about that.
Okay, yeah.
Non-barrel-aged beer.
A little done with that?
Yeah. This is the Zwickel Bavarian-style lager. I love this bottle, man. What is this? It's 500 milliliters, just like...
It's a pint.
It's a pint. How much was this? Was this $50? Like they're doing, like that seems to be the trend now.
Oh, Goose Island. That's 16, right? Yeah. A little more than a pint.
Yeah. This is a good beer. I believe Zwickel actually refers to the little handle on the, on the Bright Tank where you taste the beer before you serve it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think it refers to like a piece of equipment.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. But then we also have the Buckle Down belt and suspenders. I believe on our previous episode on, 102, we were drinking the Painted Turtle. So it has been a Buckle Down kind of marathon, I guess.
We're digging them, man. They make good stuff. It's in cans.
Yeah. This is a fantastic IPA. I gotta get through this Wickle so we can get into it. But it has like a ton of pineapple. It's a really nice beer. Mm. Have you had this one?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, yeah, we gotta hurry up. Everyone watching us is like, finish your beers, man.
You know, ever since you got rid of the, we used to have the screen up, but ever since you got rid of it, I forget that we're on camera.
Oh yeah, it's a little off to the side. Nick can't like stare at himself. Yeah. So if you're an audio only listener, you can check out the video. That's up on our YouTube page. I don't know if we have a custom URL for it, but it's on chicagobeerpass.com. There's a link for that, so check that out. But yeah, let's jump into this past 2 weeks. How was Ireland?
Man, Ireland was good, man. Uh-huh. You know, it was good. 7 hours in a plane is a little much. Didn't fly first class. A little bummed out about that.
Why fly?
Why fly? Almost canceled. It was good though, man. You know, Ireland apparently is only 4 million people on this island.
Yeah.
And almost half of them live near Dublin. So we flew into Dublin and I partied with the folks at Guinness, man. Guinness opened in 1759 and it was cool, man. It was a group of 10 people, and they wanted to get you a full Irish experience. So we hit, you know, certain bars. We had we did a horsebacking adventure through the mountains of Ireland. Oh, that was actually the coolest part, the Wicklow Mountains. I didn't even know they had mountains, but it all started at Guinness.
Yeah.
Right? So Guinness has their pub, right? Well, they call it the storehouse, right? That's the St. James Gate, right?
Right. This is kind of the... I don't know, the place when you go to Guinness, it's like the museum, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, because the brewery is on the grounds, but, you know, when you do the tour and they'd walk you through the space, it's got 7 different floors, and it feels...
It's the experience, right?
It's the Guinness experience, yeah. Right? So, I mean, that was good. That's where you learn a lot about Guinness. There is this room on floor 5 called the Connoisseur Lounge.
Yeah, is that all white room?
No. This is like a room. Okay. It's like a warm, almost like a den, you know, like a really classic den.
Okay.
And then there's a bar in there, and that's where they have like their semi-private events. You can put like maybe 30 people in there.
Oh, nice.
And that's where you get to, you know, pour your pint and you do pairings with the guys that are there.
Okay.
That kind of thing. That was really cool. But I tell you, man, I think the soul of this whole experience at Guinness was this. There's a St. James Gate, and then there's what they call the OGB, the Open Gate Brewery. So the Open Gate Brewery is basically their experiential smaller okay. location. They've got.
Can anybody go to that?
Yeah, it's going to open to the public pretty soon, actually.
Oh, okay, so nice.
Yeah, so it's but it's the place where, like, you know, they would make. That's where Harp, the recipe for Harp, was developed before it got pushed out.
Oh.
That's where you know, the version that you get of Guinness in England is 5% compared to 4.2 in Ireland.
Okay.
So this is where all the variations were made for a long time, and now it's just an experimental place. That's where the Nitro IPA is, and then they got this whole board of like 10 beers where, you know, they're just playing around with recipes and barrels and that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
So that was my favorite part, actually. So Guinness is part of Diageo Brands, right? Which is like, you know, your Smirnoffs, and, you know, they own a bunch of, and your Jamesons, all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they got access to Coopers. They got access to any barrel they want. So they got like a whiskey barrel in there. They got a barrel program, and they're doing all these cool beers. Those guys that work in there, they like wear craft research from other breweries, and they're really into like doing fun stuff.
You know, that's awesome.
So,
okay.
That was you know, I used to give Goose Island a hard time because when you go to Fulton, that tap room that they have isn't very big.
No.
You know, and we joke with them because, like, they're fucking Goose Island. They should have a big tap room.
Yeah.
But then when you go see the OGB at Guinness.
It's tiny.
It's not very big. Hmm. It's just a little bit bigger than the Goose tap room.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
So that kind of caught me off guard.
But most people are going to that experience location because you got that bar up on the top. What's it called?
The Gravity Bar.
The Gravity Bar, yeah. Where you can see like basically all of Dublin.
You can see the whole town.
Yeah.
Yeah. They show you all the folks that have come there, you know, like the president, Barack's been there. The Queen of England, Tom Cruise. They said Tom Cruise actually had more demands than the Queen of England did.
Oh, funny.
Which is kind of funny. Yeah. So it was a good experience. The couple things I learned about Guinness, man, is that they started brewing. The first beer that was popular for them was a red ale.
Oh.
They brewed a red ale at like 4%. They made that for about 10 years. And then Arthur Guinness went to England and found out that these guys were drinking this porter named after, you know, the guys who worked on the docks in England. And he wanted to come home and create an Irish version of that beer. And then they started producing the porter mass production. But he really started as a red ale producer.
What is a red ale? Anything now, or is that kind
of
gone away?
Yeah, so they have 5 breweries. They count all the brew houses in Dublin as one brewery. Then they have 2 in Africa. He said Lagos, Nigeria drinks more Guinness than all of Ireland.
Okay.
So there's 2 in Africa, there's 1 in Asia, there's 1 in Cameroon. I have no idea where that is.
No, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's Guinness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a good experience. I'm pretty sure there's stuff I'm leaving out, but
how was the general pub drinking? Did you go out to any pubs, or was it pretty, you know, stuck with the Guinness folks at their brewery and their places?
Yeah, I thought that you know, when you go to these classic Irish pubs, I mean, it kind of feels like some of the best Irish pubs I've been to in Chicago. You know, I think they do a good job of, like, you know, kind of preserving that feeling. Of Ireland.
Or ripping it off.
Or ripping it off, yeah. They do a good job of copying it, right? It was pretty interesting. The oldest bar was founded in the year 1136.
Okay.
We went there.
I think I almost went there when I was there, but it was a hike, mm-hmm. like, just to get to it. So
I was that American that got lost. You know, I was taking pictures. Okay. And then after we left the OGB, my entire group left me. And then, you know, here I am. So for the first 5 minutes, I freaked out. You know, I've been drinking all day.
Yeah.
I got this big dumbass camera that I'm tired of carrying.
My phone doesn't work.
My phone doesn't work because my roaming's cut off, and I have no idea how to get back to the hotel.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I calmed down and we powered through. And
they just find you?
No, I just started walking.
Okay.
I started walking, and every like few blocks, I would just pop into like a taco joint and say, "Hey, where's the Fitzwilliam Hotel?" And then people would go, "At the end of the block, man."
Luckily,
I found it. But, but yeah, it was good, man. I walked away with a really cool bottle of a strong ale. So the strong ale is the one they put in the barrels. This is the pre-barrel version
of the strong ale.
Yeah.
Did you hit up Jameson?
No, I missed Jameson. So the rest of the crew, maybe half of the crew stayed later. I came back home because I wanted to go to FOBAP.
Yeah.
They all stayed, and then they hit a bunch of distilleries. My favorite part, other than, you know, the horseback riding and the OGB, the Open Gate Brewery, was the Irish whiskeys. So, because, you know, Guinness is really good. They say it tastes different over there, and it does, right?
Yeah.
It says over there, it's you know, the 4.2 that we all drink. It's got a little like a darker kind of it tastes a little bit like a candied walnut flavor, like you know, and that you don't taste that as much when you drink it over here.
Right.
But at 4.2% beer, you know, we were kind of like, hey man, bring out the whiskey, man.
So yeah, we need a little more. We're just getting full. I have to pee a lot, and I'm not getting drunk.
Exactly, yeah. So then we started drinking a lot of whiskey, man. Jameson 10-year, Jameson 18-year, Bushmills 10-year. My favorite one was one called Mitchell & Sons. They have one called the Green Spot and the Yellow Spot. The Green Spot's the 8-year. The Yellow Spot was like the 12-year.
Oh, cool.
I think those are the Irish whiskeys were very nice.
Oh, sounds like a pretty awesome trip. So Guinness here, drinking Guinness here in the U.S., like, it almost feels like with the amount of craft beer and options we have, that same person that would have been like, I like Guinness now has something else. They have a belt and suspenders. They have a milk stout. Like, so like Guinness is almost like it gets lost in the Budweiser and the craft beer.
No, you're absolutely right, man. And, you know, they kind of touched on that. He was kind of saying, hey, you know, Guinness, we refuse to call ourselves craft, you know, because we're, you know, we're in like 55 countries, you know, how we can't be craft, we're too big. But we do take a pride in making our beer, and they try to accentuate that a lot. They actually have four different types that they make over there that they only sell in Ireland, as far as I know. So the West Indies Porter, they're all dark beers. The West Indies Porter, and then there's the Dublin Porter, which is, those are both like 7% beers. Okay. Then there's the Guinness Extra Stout, which you find that everywhere. And then there's the Foreign Extra Stout, which is a 7.5%.
I've had that one before.
Yeah. So, and those are actually, I prefer those actually over a Guinness.
Over regular Guinness?
Yeah, but they're so ingrained. I mean, it's Ireland's largest export, an island of 4 million people, right? One out of every 3 pints in this country sold is a Guinness, you know? So I guess they're kind of like, they're comfortable with who they are. And you bring up a good point, man, because what I noticed was that, you know, like the East Coast guys that were there, Chris from Brew York and Josh Bernstein, they found this bar called, it was called the Black Sheep. So there's this brewery called Galway, right? The 2014 Craft Brewery of the Year in Ireland, right? And the rules are different over there. So Galway, as a brewery, owns like 4 different pub concepts. And these are like straight up American pubs. You know, you can get like Founders, you know, Double Trouble on tap. You know, you can get you know, all kinds of beers from, like, you know, the West Coast on tap.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, but then so they got these guys, Galway Arms, they have a collab with Beguile on tap. So, you know, you're kind of freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I think it's a good blend of like old and new. Like the Guinness guys who work at the OGB, they love Ireland craft beer. There's a lot of really good hoppy beers made over there in the vein of American beers. Not using, like, you know, like traditional noble hops or, you know, European hops. You know, they're using like straight up like Citra and Cascade and, you know.
Okay.
They're making American style craft beer over there. Oh, okay. That's what I was trying to say.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, that's nice. I know the other brew pub or the place I went to was Porterhouse. They make a really good oyster stout.
I miss Porterhouse. Man, I miss so... There, I have unfinished business in Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah, because everyone else, they stayed and hit like a bunch of distilleries, hit the Porterhouse, hit a bunch of places that I'd love to go. Mm-hmm. But it was a good trip, man.
Well, if they want to invite Chicago Beer Pass back out, I'm sure we can go out there and do the whole experience again.
Carlsberg, we're looking at you.
Yeah, we'll come out there, you know. Talk about Harp and Guinness and Porterhouse. I don't know. What do we need to talk about?
Whatever it takes, man. It was a good trip, man. I had a great time.
Nice. So you go back?
For sure. I'd go back and drink a lot more whiskey, and I'd hit a lot more because the Guinness, even the Guinness brewmaster, he named off like his 6 favorite craft breweries over there. Okay. I'd go over there and do a craft beer tour of Dublin. Nice. Craft beer and whiskey is what I would focus on if I went back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Sounds fun. A little jealous.
It did not suck.
But then you came back, and Phobab was going down. You missed the little pre-party that happened.
Did you make it there? I know there was a sponsors and media and brewers event.
Yeah, there was. So this was at the Goose Island Barrel Warehouse on Sacramento.
Yeah, so that's like Humble Park, I think.
Yeah. I haven't been over there since the first Goose Island Fun Day.
Oh, really? Like 2 years ago?
Yeah, so
really,
barrels weren't really in there, and so they kind of set us up way in the back.
Yeah.
And lots of tables. Publican was doing a dinner. I tried a couple things, but I got there late, so I didn't really get a seat, and then I stole someone's seat for a little while. And someone was like, dude's going to be pissed you took a seat. I was like, I don't know. there's nowhere to sit. I don't know. I wanted to try this fish dish. they had Bourbon County on. They had proprietors on. Mm-hmm. They were doing some other stuff. I think Motor Row had a beer on. A couple other people. So
there were guest taps there,
little
too.
Little guest taps. And okay. I believe I cut out kind of early just because I drove over there and drinking Bourbon County that late. You know, bound for trouble, I think.
Yeah.
And so I think someone said like Rare got put on later, and like it got crazy in there. So, but man, it was a nice event, and like lots of brewers there, and it was just kind of weird from the previous year where it was so small,
right,
at Revolution Tap Room. Right?
No, that's the last time we went. That was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
So the one last year, I didn't go to it. It was...
maybe I didn't go to that one.
It was at the one... What's the brewery by UIC?
Oh, it's that one that you don't like.
Mad Mouse.
Mad Mouse.
Mad Mouse. Moxie.
Moxie, yeah.
Yeah.
The one that is just a bunch of college kids who get growlers and... You know, take it back to their dorm room, that brewery.
Yeah, it was at that place last year.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I didn't go to that one. And I believe that someone said that was a brewer, like everyone event. And so 2 years ago, it was just the media event. It was like super small.
Yeah, at Rev Kedzie.
Right. It was not Domino's, but Geno's East, because they had their brewery starting up that time. So.
Yeah.
So Publican dinner with Bourbon County Stout's a little different than...
Man, that sounds pretty legit.
Pizza and... Rev beer.
Right.
So that was fun. Chatted with a bunch of people, just seeing what's happening and what to expect for FOBAB. That was kicking off that Friday, Saturday.
So it's like this is like FOBAB weekend kicking off with this Barrel Warehouse thing.
Right. Yeah.
Right on.
But then I didn't make it to Friday day or evening session. Did you go to that one?
I was in the air.
You were in the air. Okay.
I got back in time for Saturday morning, noon.
Okay.
I got back in time for that.
What time did you land?
Dude, I landed the night before, like around 4 or 5 o'clock.
All right. Did you crash right away?
I went and got tacos, and then I crashed.
All right. Well, that's good. You went to sleep like at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I was a little bummed out. No tacos and pizza in Ireland.
Really?
Yeah. Fish and chips are amazing over there, man. Fucking amazing. It's an island, so it's pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, pretty good. But no tacos and pizza.
No tacos, no pizza, though.
So. No, I would take tacos... Anywhere outside of this, hemisphere? Would it be this hemisphere or this?
Yeah,
this side.
This side of the pond.
This is like, I don't know, maybe Spain. Spain, you'd probably get some decent tacos, but I don't know. We got amazing tacos in Chicago.
This is true.
And all those West Coast people have amazing tacos. So.
Yeah, they do. They do have good tacos. Totally different style, too.
All right, but not tacos, man.
Okay, we started on tacos.
Getting hungry here. FOBAB.
Yeah, man.
Saturday afternoon, we both were there.
Yeah, man. First thing I did, I come in, I say hi to one or two people, then boom, I see B-Rat. Yeah. And we immediately start talking, immediately start drinking.
Yeah, I got in fantastic. A little late. I didn't miss that whole hour VIP pre-session, but I got in just in time before the line for Goose Island got crazy.
Yeah, and then what they did this year was that they would sound, there was a guy, he had bagpipes. And he would play the bagpipes, and then they would start pouring. I noticed that at the at the 5 o'clock session.
So it was like he'd never left Ireland, even though that's Scottish, but still.
Right. This was good. Goose had a huge. Well, Goose always has a huge presence.
Yeah, they had two stations pouring this time.
Yeah.
My first beer was the Regal Rye.
Okay. Well, now, what was your opinion on the 2015 lineup of the Goose stuff that you tried?
It's fine, but I feel like I. So uneducated about it this year that I don't know what I
you didn't know what to pick up in it, yeah.
Right. So I'm unclear on what is in this year's proprietors.
Yeah.
I understand the Regal Rye, and that seems to be everyone's favorite.
Well, yeah. A lot of people like Regal Rye, and I know it's rye barrels, and then it's like a Luxardo cherry, which is basically like a bourbon soaked cherry.
Right. So it's like
some sea salt.
Yeah, so it's like a sweet rye bourbon barrel-aged beer, yeah.
People love the Regal.
This year's Bourbon County is crazy smooth.
Yeah.
I did find that really nice. I didn't try coffee yet, and there's one more that I'm missing.
There's rare. You tried rare,
but I did not have rare at FOBAB.
No. And then there's there's barley wine.
Barley wine
prop, rare.
Is there a vanilla this year?
There is. I don't think there's a vanilla.
They were pouring last year's vanilla then.
Last year's vanilla is pouring really good.
Okay.
You're gonna make me look this up, man, because there's like six of them.
See, I don't know if this is it my fault that I'm uneducated on these what variants are this year.
Goddamn right it's your fault, Brad.
It's my fault. I do a beer podcast here, and I do not know what the variants are.
No, we're going to pull it up right now.
But I feel like for some reason the marketing around this year's variants is off. Like, they had the Grit and Grain series, which, you know, got us hyped about Bourbon County.
Yeah, and it's a historical view as well.
Yeah. You know? But as far as the actual variants go, that kind of, I feel right, like one, it's two, lost three, in the shuffle.
Four, okay, so there's five this year. We talked about rare, prop, the barley wine, coffee, the original. We touched them all, and Regal Rye. So Regal Rye is candied cherries along with fresh sour cherries in a rye barrel with sea salt.
Okay.
Yeah. That actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, this is good. Maybe the variants are getting lost because there's rare this year. So everyone's hype, like rare is overshadowing everything else that kind of fits in there.
I tell you, when I went to the rare day, we went to rare day at the same warehouse, everyone greeted you. It was actually a very classy move. Everyone greeted you with a snifter with rare in it. Maybe with like a decent pour in it. And then, you know, you went to the stage and you got to try all the other ones. But the first thing I did was went and asked for rare. And they were like, no, you had your rare.
You had your rare.
You had your rare. You can try the other
one. Sir, you've had enough.
Sir, there will be no second pours of rare.
You like leave and come back in. Be like, I don't know. I just got here. Okay. So maybe it's just that. And maybe that's why I'm feeling like it's getting lost. But anyway, FOBAB.
Yeah, FOBAB. FOBAB. This year, I really like that the VIP room, which is on the first floor as soon as you walk in, that was converted to a cider, mead, and perry room.
Right.
I really dug that.
So this happened, it was the second year we were at Bridgeport Fest.
Yes.
An auxiliary room was turned into a cider room.
Yeah.
And I do like this, but it also creates this like, hey, there's this whole other place that you could really spend your entire time in here that also... You forget that's going on in the vent, and it's also smelly and hot. Because it's his own room. It's like a closed, smaller space.
That is true. Yeah.
So that's the only downside of this separate room.
Yeah. And I think that's where, and you know, I actually didn't like UIC Forum last year.
Okay.
You know, I didn't think they used the space very well. Like some rows, it seemed like the rows were all, if you had this one big room, all the rows were taken up towards like maybe two-thirds of the room, and then this big space by the you know on the other
back,
side.
Yeah.
This year I thought they used the space a lot more efficiently, and then I really dug that. You know, these rooms are just pretty hectic, and then you could float around and walk upstairs. And I don't think last year we had a reason to go upstairs at all. I don't think.
Well, I don't think you could go upstairs unless you had a badge to go upstairs.
Oh.
So don't. Spread that. Don't let anyone else know out there that there's this upstairs.
Oh, I guess you're right. Yeah,
there is no upstairs.
Yeah, what upstairs? No.
But then there was also the Revolution had an Oasis
this
time, which was pretty neat because that was just like these low alcohol beers that sometimes at FOBAB you're just like, I just need like a Pilsner just for a minute here. Like, give me something else.
I had a Radler, 2.7%.
Yeah.
And it was money. And then, you know, there's a photo booth over there. You can charge your phone. You know, they got this. You spin the wheel, and you can win some cool swag.
I spun the wheel. I got a pin. I won a hat.
I got a high five.
Oh, okay.
So you did a little bit better.
I did better than you.
You did a little better
than I did. The guy in front of me got a hat. Pissed. Dude,
that fucking scarf. It's like a soccer scarf. Yeah, that they were. Man, it looked great. Yeah, so this is the 13th FOBAB. I mean, we could argue it's the best event in Chicago. I mean, it's definitely a top three event. Right. Depending on your preference, right? Some people like summertime stuff. There are very few parties better than this party.
Yeah.
No, so they have like nine categories where they give out awards, right? So Best in Show this year was Dos Sivonia from Distill.
Yeah.
Which I believe is a barrel-aged stout. I didn't try it. Mm-hmm. That beer also took a bronze medal at Great American Beer Fest this year too.
Good for them, because I feel like their beers have been slipping for me.
Yeah. I know Distill, they're the ones that put out these sours in cans, I believe.
Yeah.
Right. Often get Brickstone and confused with Distill because they're both in Southern Illinois.
Okay.
I probably won't be doing that anymore though, because Distill took home Best of Show.
But Brickstone took home an award too.
They did take home an award. Yeah. They took home they took home a medal. Spiteful Brewing took home two medals.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. That was a good party.
Yeah, it was a good time. Highly recommend. If you can get tickets, go to it. I know they sell out so quickly. Did you have a favorite beer?
Well, the runner-up, I didn't try this beer. I wanted to. The runner-up was Gigantic Brewing's Pipe Wrench, which is a double IPA in Ransom Old Tom gin barrels.
Yeah, I didn't try that. I wish I would have tried that.
You know what I tried that was really good, speaking of Brickstone, was they have a beer called Barrel-Aged Coffee Dark Secret. Right, and it uses dark matter coffee. Okay. And then right next to that beer is another dark secret beer with raspberries. So you take the two, you blend them. Mm. That was really good. Yeah.
Nice.
Lafleur had a beer in the cider Perry room, which was like
the yuzu. That was really nice. Yeah.
It was nice. And then, you know, I really dug it because it was like 3.7%. It was like a gin barrel aged 3% beer.
Yeah, I also love the pony pills, the gin pony pills. Like, all right, as you can see, we like these like low alcohol barrel aged beers because I don't know, they add a lot of flavor. But also had the Perennial Blue Label, which that went in like 45 minutes.
That might have been the first beer that I saw kicked. I'm sure a rare kick too, but yeah,
that was gone quick. It was good, but not kicking 45 minutes. I think
I hear that
Perennial Hype. Maybe got the best of it.
Yeah.
But it was good, but not like 45 minutes gone.
I really like this this Magpie. It's this it's a cidery in Indiana. I took a photo of it because I knew I'd forget. Mm-hmm. But basically it's a bourbon barrel aged coffee mead.
Oh, cool.
It's really, I had it last year. I liked it last year too. It's not as dense as it sounds. It was actually very tasty. I really enjoyed that.
Nice. All in all, a great event. Did you go back? Did you keep drinking for the Saturday evening session? I had to bail. I had a Friendsgiving, so I had even more drinking to do with friends, with glug and more beer, so I had to cut out of there.
Yeah, I actually went over to, in between sessions, I went over to Moxie. They got some killer like seafood. They got
right. so you like the place. You don't not like
it. Their food is fantastic. I had some seafood. Had some whiskey, and then went back and took photos.
Making me retract my statement where I said Nick doesn't like that place.
And then so here it is. All right, so New Day Craft Meadery, which I believe is in Indianapolis, Imperial Breakfast Magpie. That's what I like.
Oh, okay.
And the Lafleur beer we were talking about is Gin Barrel Aged Yuzu Fierce.
Fierce, okay.
Yeah. So, dude, and just on a side note, man, Lafleur's really fucking cleaning up at these awards, man.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then he's winning all these awards on, like, you know, sour beers and, like, you know, like really small beers. So, he won this year for a collab with Central State. Uh-huh. That's his fifth award at Pobab since he's opened All Color.
That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, so Whiskers was the name of the beer. It was a wild acidic sours category was that beer.
Okay. Yeah. I think the biggest, craziest row at Fobab was that stout row. For whatever reason, like it was like, I went down that once and was like, never again.
Yeah.
I think there was rare being poured in that row, and I think that's why.
And the coolest part about this event is that you can make a beeline to some like really cool like stuff from like you know, God, I was just thinking of them too. The in Indianapolis, the guys that make the sours in Indianapolis. You know what I'm talking about.
No. Yeah, Sun King? You
know. Yeah, no.
No, not Sun King.
No, it's not Sun King. But yeah, oh, Upland.
Upland.
Upland. Yeah, yeah. So there's all this fuss about these beers, you go over there, Upland's wide open. Yeah.
Their stuff usually doesn't go as crazy as it should.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like you need to go in with a game plan sometimes. Like, you need to get that booklet and then figure out, like, grab a quick beer, run down the list, and be like, all right, what do we need? All right, check. We got to hit Perennial. We got to hit Upland. We got to get these top ones real quick.
Revolution took home 2 awards, which is pretty cool. So
Working Mom.
Yeah, Working Mom. And, you know, it's cool that the Pub wins a lot of these awards for Rev, because I know Will Turner is over at the Pub. And yeah. Working Mom, they've won for that award when a couple years back when it was at Bridgeport.
Yeah.
Yeah, same beer.
Nice, yeah. Will's always making fantastic beers. Ah, man, too much about FOBA. I'm sure you probably saw on our Twitter and our Facebook page, we were posting photos and all that good stuff. Yeah. So, fun event.
That's a good party.
Mm-hmm. So, did you make it to anything else besides going to Ireland and then hitting up FOBA?
No, well, I went to the Pilsner Pilsner Urquell event.
Oh man! Look at this. You like crossed the country, and all I did was go to FOBAD. That's enough to me.
No, but in all fairness, I went to this before I left.
Oh, okay.
So Pilsner Urquell is in the Czech Republic. So you know, SA.
You went to the Czech Republic.
No, and also went to the Czech. I went to Prague. I went to. So this was at Kaiser Tiger. A place that I really like. And, you know, the cool thing about Kaiser Tiger is that they're doing the curling again this year.
Oh, awesome.
It's going to be bigger and badder. Instead, so, you know, I had melted a lot last year.
Yeah.
This year, they got some coils underneath. So it's going to stay cold. It's going to feel like a real, a proper rink. Yeah. So Kaiser Tiger upstairs, they had this Pilsner Urquell event. So SAB Miller, right, just got bought by AB, right? But the SAB portion of it owns Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah.
So every year they fly over 8 kegs from the Czech Republic to Chicago, and they do events all through town. And this was the first one. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So there's this writer, Evan Hall, who sat up and talked about, the history. He lives in Prague. He's from California, but he lives in Prague with his wife, and he's like an ambassador for Pilsner Urquell, right? And I tell you, man, it's one of these beers that really changes the way you look at a Pilsner, man. You know, because it looks... It's unfiltered and unpasteurized. Uh-huh. So, you know, like, it kind of looks like a wheat ale. You know, it's cloudy. You know, it's deep, you know, yellow, almost orangish.
Yeah.
Know? And it's fucking awesome. It's like a really tasty beer. One thing that he said that kind of caught my attention was that in Prague, you know, they believe that, you know, 50% of the beer experience is the brewer, and the other 50 is the publican, the guy serving it, the tap man, as he called him. He's like, hey, you know, the beer maker just makes the beer. The person who serves the beer is, you know, half of the experience. In fact, he's the most important piece. So they would say things like, yeah, you know, I like Urban Chestnut Zwickel, but I like it at Kuma's. I really don't like it at the Beet Kitchen.
Oh,
you
know, okay.
They focus on beers. The way they look at beer is a little bit different.
That's pretty awesome.
So,
okay.
That was cool. The Goose Island guys were there. So they were, it was just a bunch of back and forth between, like, you know, the Goose guys and the Miller guys and the Pilsner Urquell guys. We ended up on the roof at Kaiser Tiger. I didn't even know they had a roof either. You had to walk, climb up these creepy stairs and then, like, you know, hop over this thing and then you're on the roof. It's just, really, I hope they do something with that, because I was like, or just keep it the way it is, you know, and then, you know, just go up there if you can. But that was a really good party, so I just wanted to mention that real quick.
That's awesome. Man. Crazy couple weeks there of drinking and, man, a lot of fun stuff. But coming up this week, it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Not a ton of events besides a lot of stuff around Black Friday. And
everybody's gearing up for Black Friday releases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing about FOBAD, one more thing, sorry. Did you feel like it was bad that it was later? It was a week later.
Yeah.
Feels like, I don't know why, maybe it was just about them, like,
about
getting the space or something like that, but it felt like, oh, man, it's already Thanksgiving.
It's usually, you're right, it's usually 1 week later all the time, or 1 week earlier than that all the time.
But it gives a good hype for all this Goose Island. It gives, like, Goose Island, like, fodder or whatever, it gives them a good base for, like, hey, look at this, look at these beers, these are good, get them this week.
It's a win for them. Yeah. Day. And then I noticed that this year there a lot of sponsors. So every award was being sponsored. So like Best in Show was sponsored by Goose Island, you know, Cicero's. Yeah. Every category was sponsored by someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool.
But so these Black Friday events that are coming up. So I think the first one happening is that Wednesday at 7 o'clock over at the Beer Bistro on Madison.
Yeah.
You're gonna be able to have you know, regular Bourbon County proprietors, coffee, Sophie, lots of other variances and good stuff on draft there. I think it's kind of just first come, first serve kind of thing.
Yeah, it's one of the handful in the Chicago and the Burbs that are doing a Black Wednesday.
Yeah.
Featuring all Goose stuff, the whole Goose lineup.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Probably most of it. Yeah. So.
So check that out, especially if you are heading out of town and not gonna be able to go to Black Friday or something like that. You can hit up this and get a little taste.
Yeah, that's very true. And then there's Black Friday events everywhere. Whirly Ball's having one, and that's a prepaid one where you can pay $45 and get an entire flight. You can get everything except for rare.
Okay.
And your flight for $45 is 5 ounce pours.
This is also Wednesday.
This is Friday, like actual Black Friday.
Oh, okay.
Who else is having a Black Friday event? The Green Lady's doing a Black Friday event for Dos Vidonia, the best in show from Distill. And then of course Clybourne does their Black Friday. That's the original Black Friday. Mm-hmm. Was the Clybourne event.
All right, so yeah. Are you going to hit up any of these? You're going to go wait in line?
Absolutely not. No. Okay. I'm going to chill so hard on Friday. Yeah, but you know, but that was one of the cool parts about FOBAP too. You could try all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to get my hands on some bottles, but knowing just past Thanksgivings and just drinking with family, it's like, I don't want to leave the house. Like,
yeah.
I'm good. Yeah. I'll chill here and check the internet and see what's going down.
For sure, man. And then just dip into the cellar, drink something fun with people you love. I got a Friendsgiving on Wednesday.
Okay.
But other than that, I think I'm laying low this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll probably, since I was able to pick up some bottles at Rare Day, I don't need to wait in line for more rare, so I'll probably open one of those up on Thanksgiving with family.
There you go. Yeah. You're going to open all 16.9?
All 16.9, and then we'll burn the box on the fire.
What is up with this box, man?
What do you do with this box?
What do you do with this? So if you got your full allotment on Rare Day, you got three of these boxes.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with these boxes?
I'm throwing it in the trash. It's the biggest waste.
And you know what bothers me is, like, it has no connection to, like, the actual wood that the beer was in.
I guess it's
too, it's just a regular just, box, man.
It's to set the mood, like, it's a barrel-aged beer.
Just to get you in the mood.
But, like, I'm sorry. Like, that was a waste of money. Like,
I'm not a big fan of the box. I'm not a big fan of the Go Fuck Yourself 16.9 ounce, $60 bottle.
The bottles look nice, though.
The bottle is a very handsome bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I guess you had to do something different, right? You had to, you know, it's an opportunity to have a really cool branding upgrade.
Yeah. Right, but, like, so, all right, so you have this box.
Yeah.
You're going to take it somewhere. You have the box then. Are you keeping the box? And then what if you go, like, far? You travel, like, across the country, and this is the bottle you want to bring and share. Like, are you bringing this box, too? I guess you have to like, show it off. And it's like, I have this giant box I got to travel in when I could just wrap this bottle in my, like, underwear.
It's There is something to be said for presentation with this box, because the box is sealed,
yeah.
Right? You have to break the seal on the box, and then after you do that, you know, the box slides out. But then you know what you can do? We were in line trying to get into Rare Day, and then, like, you hold the box completely upside down and it doesn't fall out. They're doing a really good job of, like, you know,
what, putting it into the box.
They did a really good job of securing it in this box. It's yeah. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. I mean, it is. I guess I get it, though. It's rare, right? We saw Rare, what, in 2010? We saw it this year.
Right.
And they openly said at the and I hate that we're bouncing between events.
Yeah.
But also,
it's just a lot of Black Friday.
It's a lot of Black Friday stuff. Yeah, go to all these Black Friday events, man. There's going to be, there's 60,000 bottles of Rare. It's in 8 cities, but there's a good chance if you get up early, you'll get some variant of Rare, of a BCS. Oh, but so at the actual Black Friday concert, the
Heaven. Rare Day, you mean?
Rare Day. Yeah, sorry. Rare Day. The Heaven Hill distiller,
yeah,
master distiller, gets on the stage before the band takes the stage, and he's talking about, you know, these barrels, and he holds up his glass. He's got this glass. He holds a glass up, and he's like, yeah, when we gave these barrels to Goose, you know, this was about how much bourbon was in there, because after 35 years, you know, it soaks all into the wood, so it's horrible for the whiskey, but it's amazing for the barrel, because the angel share, like, triples after, like, 30 years. So, like, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, that's where you want it if you just want a nice whiskey.
Okay.
But after 25 years, then, hey, you know. Basically, he was saying this was kind of a mistake that these barrels even existed.
Okay.
And that you'll never see this again, because distilleries don't have 35-year barrels with whiskey in them.
Well, they probably got lost in all those floors, like watching the Grit and Grain series. Like, dude, that place is giant. It's a skyscraper.
It's a skyscraper with barrels.
It's like, oh man, I forgot about the barrels on the 14th floor. Shit. Did you get them? I thought you got them 5 years ago. They're still here. So I was talking to someone about the barrels where you, maybe it was with you, but other distilleries don't have these like large, these multiple floors.
Yeah, for Four Roses.
Four Roses.
They said, dude, in the summer, it's 125 degrees up there and it smells like booze because you got all these goddamn barrels and you're seven floors up. Yeesh. He's like, there's no way you can work comfortably in those conditions. So they keep theirs to like,
so like two some levels. Dude just is passing out up there on the top floor. It's so hot. It's just alcohol. He just drunk and heat exhaustion.
Yeah. You know, it's
where's Phil at? I don't know. He was upstairs.
Don't ask me where he is, or you should know where he is. Yeah. So, but yeah, we went on a tangent there. But the point is, we get it. They got this bottle. They put it in this box. They sealed it because you'll probably never see this beer again. So that makes it different from the other five.
If you want my box, let me know. I can save it for you. You can come and get it. Like I'll put it in my closet. I don't. What am I going to do with it? If you want to come get it, I'll keep it. Let me know.
We're going to post a picture of the box on the Facebook page. The first four people that respond get the boxes.
Right. What's the in search of? I'm just in search of someone to take my Bourbon County Rare box away.
We are. Can you imagine living in any other city, right? You know, if you're in Houston, Texas, you know, we're sitting here complaining about the box, and they're not getting anything.
They're not getting it.
So. They don't get anything on Black Friday.
Well, they're not listening to this podcast. Well,
that too, so. Well, you know. So
I'm not too concerned about that.
man.
Before we get out of here, do we have any beer news we need to mention?
A little bit of beer news, man. Metropolitan Brewing is moving, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got the expansion. So they are in Ravenswood. They're going to move to Avondale. And apparently, from what the article said, it sounded like they're just getting a whole new brew house and moving to a bigger space, right. a whole new space.
Full upgrade.
Yeah, so good for them, man. They're the only brewery in town that focuses just on lagers.
Uh-huh. I believe it'll have a tap room and more tours. Like, you could do tours at the current brewery, but it was pretty limited and, like, only on, like, Saturdays or only on Sundays for like a couple hours.
Yeah. I ran into the Slapshot guys at FOBAB, and they're doing a spinoff brewery. They've got a second brewery coming up called Sellers Pass, and Sellers Pass is going to focus on like wild ales and sour beers.
Why don't they just do them under Slapshot? Are they trying to like Slapshot's a thing and they don't want to?
Yeah, like Slapshot has a certain focus already. Okay. And then the sour beers, although they like them, you know, that spontaneous formation, that cool ship formation, fermentation, and, you know, like making cool ship beers and sour kettles, that kind of thing, kettle sours, that none of that really fits the Slapshot mode. So they're spinning off another brewery. You see this a lot, the brewery out in, and where you were just there in Orange County, they have a spinoff brewery called Terrio, which does just basically the same thing. 18th Street has a sister brewery called the Sour Note. Yeah, so you're starting to see this more and more, where they like these beers, but they don't want to disrupt their portfolio.
Huh.
So they're spinning off and doing a different brewery.
Okay.
Yeah, and just a couple notes from FOBAB, man. Actually, you know, just cheers to the whole FOBAB crew for putting on a good event, man. A really good event. That event kicked ass. But then, I just want to talk about Goose Island a little bit more, like the Clybourne Pub versus Goose Island Production Facility.
Yeah.
So since 2012. Goose Island Production Facility, where the bottles and cans come from, they've won 8 medals at FOBAB.
Okay.
The Goose Island Pub has actually won 6.
Oh, wow.
Right. And it's so I was looking at the numbers, and, you know, a couple years ago, Cherry Rye. So if you win a category at FOBAB, all the best categories get put into the last round for Best in Show. So, like, you know, so Cherry Rye won Best in Show, and so did, like, Backyard Rye. It was, like, runner-up 1 year.
Okay.
So, but if you're talking beers, just beers, Goose Island Clybourne has produced just as many medal winning beers over the last 3 years that the Goose Island Production Facility has.
Wow. Okay.
Which is pretty impressive. And they're doing it in a wider category range. I mean, like Madame Rose will win, every once in a while. But these guys are nailing, like, you know, like sours, fruit beers, and stouts over at the Goose Island Clybourne Pub. And on top of that, they've had four brewmasters in this 3 year period.
That's true. We don't really know, like, sure, we got Brett Porter at the helm of things, but we don't know he is not brewing the beer.
Right. He's more of like the face of like this brewery that's in all 50 states. Yeah. So you probably got like recipes are coming out by committee, you know. Who knows who made the beer over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a much smaller operation at Clybourne. So, and that's the original pub. It's the oldest pub in Chicago. Yeah, they're cranking out just as many award winners at FOBAB as the production facility, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oldest brew pub.
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, all right. I think we need to get out of here. Enough like random tangents and back to FOBAB.
Yeah.
Nick, if you want to find you, even when you're jet setting around, we're going to get in touch.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. We have been tweeting more from there.
There we go.
Have been making that happen. Making promises, delivering. So follow us there. But of course, our Facebook page, we post more there. Photos, other events we don't get to mention here, pre-events, even before we're going to talk about it on the show, they get shared there. So that's at /Chicago Beer Pass. Website is chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes, links to iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, all there. Go there, watch, subscribe, leave reviews. We love seeing those. And that'll do it for this week's episode. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Happy holidays. Cheers.